two, three, 5 years down the
road.
Well,
it gives them a retreat position from hardware. And
exactly.
Which
and
is the IBM model, right?
Strength, right?
Yeah. It's the IBM model. And, I mean, that takes tremendous courage to say, you know, we don't sell devices anymore. We sell expertise.
Yeah, well, exactly.
It can be the difference between survival and not, you know. So
totally.
Awesome. Okay, so ready to go, Art? Okay.
You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
We have Matt Hartley still online with us from the Financial Post. Matt, Apple last week had their announcement around reinventing the textbooks. They've got iBooks 2, which is taking a look at the education space. Maybe not the sexiest space in the world, but anybody who's been to college, anybody who's paid for college, knows the cost and the challenges surrounding textbooks. And Apple is taking dead aim at that market. And for that world, this could be a ground-shaking announcement.
I've seen stats that peg this market at anywhere between about $8 and $15 billion annually. There's a lot of money to be made in textbooks.
Oh.
And I think part of the thing here that's really, really interesting from Apple's perspective is that if you can turn the iPad into a must-have college device, the kind of thing that when you go away to school, you pick up an iPad and that becomes your textbook for the next 4 years. It's what you download all of your textbooks on, it's what you take your notes on, it records your lectures, it allows you to access your syllabi from your various courses and see your coursework. If it becomes the sort of indispensable center of the student world, the iPad goes from being a nice-to-have device to being something that every student in North America could pick up, and that is a huge, huge market for Apple. I think you're going to start seeing some pilot programs with a number of universities. That's something Apple has talked about. We'll probably start to see some in Canada over the next little while, and it's going to be very interesting because right now when you're a student, you know, when you go away to university, the pieces of tech you need a cell phone. Some people might have an MP3 player. And you need a laptop. If you could have a tablet with an attachable keyboard, all of a sudden that becomes something that becomes a lot sexier for a student, and in many cases it's the same price as a small laptop. So it really does change the game, and this is something that Apple has clearly identified as a priority, and it'll be very interesting to see how this shakes out over the next couple of years.
So let's talk about the nuts and bolts. There was two kind of announcements that Apple made at this event. The one was for a authoring application called iBooks 2, which runs on Apple's operating system, which is very similar to Apple's other tools in their iWork series. It looks a lot like Keynote as you start to play with it. But basically, it's a textbook authoring system that allows you to import different sorts of content and write within it in order to create these interactive textbooks.
Yeah, well, it's actually called iBooks Author.
iBooks Author.
Yeah, it's the you're right. It's kind of like GarageBand or you know, one of the other tools for textbooks. What's really neat about it is that it's not just for textbooks. I mean, you could build any kind of an interactive ebook with this. And I think not only does this, you know, possibly turn the textbook industry on its ear. I mean, if you're a textbook, you know, if you're a professor at a certain university and the textbooks in your field just aren't up to snuff, and you have your own body of coursework that you'd like to turn into a textbook that the last, you know, and you want to make sure that you're completely up to date and you want to include YouTube videos and whatever else, then all of a sudden you've got this very cool tool that you can do that with. But this is going to allow people to create cookbooks, to allow people to create photo books of their vacation. There's all kinds of things that you're going to
do. Oh, professional development for sales training or marketing training or product training. Any instructional format at all. This gives you the ability to do all of your handout materials for presentations.
Yeah, the publishing industry is going to look at this, and they're going to have to take a long, hard look at what Apple's doing here. And this is going to be a very interesting market over the next little while. And it certainly changes the way that we can start thinking about the book.
Here's what surprised me is the list of people who they've got on board at the beginning, who I thought would be fighting them hammer and tong. You got Houghton Mifflin, Harcourt, McGraw-Hill, and Pearson. The major textbook publishers are all lining up and actually playing ball with Apple on this, despite the fact that on Apple's iTunes U, the textbooks are selling for in the neighborhood of $14.95 each. That's been kind of the benchmark that Apple set on price. This is for the same sort of content that these folks were getting $120, $130, $140 for their textbooks for. it surprises the heck out of me that they're willing to play ball at 10%.
True, except textbooks are heavy and expensive to ship. Printing costs are also very expensive. If you can continue to be a content licensor as a textbook provider and push these things out, and you also have to remember, not every student is going to pick up an iPad. Not every community college student is going to be able to do that. So there's going to be other areas of the market where the textbook manufacturers can continue to work on. But at the same time, if you can get in on the ground floor and you can help Apple shape this market, then you're in a much better position, you know, setting the terms of the agreement and figuring out how the licensing deals are going to work with Apple. So the textbook manufacturers kind of looked at this and said, okay, we can work with Apple on this and help them kind of establish this market for digital textbooks, or we can take the music industry approach and fight Apple on this and let Apple set the market, and then we have to play by Apple's rules. So I think in this case, you had a situation where the textbook manufacturers figured it would be better to work with Apple than against them.
And how many camps do you think will end up? Amazon has to ultimately play in this space, do they not?
You would think so. I think the best thing for students, and this is something I hope Apple, Amazon, and everyone else learns, is that being a student is expensive. Maybe you can't afford an iPad, but maybe you can get one of the lower-end tablets that's only $200. It would still be really nice to be able to get your courseware and your textbook on that. So here's hoping that these companies look at this, think of the students, and then price these things accordingly and make them open. Use the open EPUB or PDF formats, so that these books can be read on multiple devices, not just Kindles and iPads.
Yeah, that's exactly the hope. And having paid for several university educations and many a bill to the bookstore, I wish it had been here a few years ago, as you do probably when you were doing your degree, I guess. Eh?
Yeah, when I think back to actually how much I spent on textbooks, it makes me want to cry.
Oh, it's staggering. And this isn't, as you said, this isn't just university. This is it's trickling down to high school. I had an interview, I had a conversation with the superintendent of the Vancouver School Board. Their textbook budget on an annual basis, just for a mid-sized school board, Vancouver is a large city in Canada, but hardly large by worldwide standards, you know, we're talking well over $7 million a year just in textbooks at a high school level. And it trickles down. It's as you said, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And there's environmental impact. I mean, we have to look at that side as well. There's less transportation. There's less greenhouse gases created in the production and in the disposal of the materials. It's a win-win-win right across the board. So it's an exciting space, and it's probably worth a little more hullabaloo than what the industry has given it up to this point. You went to CES.
I did.
Was it good?
That's a good question. CES is really easy to rag on. It's a huge bloated show. Everybody goes. There's 150,000 or 175,000 people crammed into this massive convention center. It's in Las Vegas, the city that defined excess in the United States. There's a lot of things to hate about CES, but at the same time, it's a really interesting week to see what everybody's working on. I mean, yes, some of the glamour is gone from CES. You're seeing Microsoft's not going to be keynoting next year. And over the last 2 years, Microsoft hasn't really, although they have held the opening keynote spot, have not launched any really new products. It's become, the tech world is quite often now taking the Apple approach to things. When a company has a big announcement they want to make, they're going to go out and do it on their own terms at a time that makes sense for them. They're not going to necessarily hold things back for CES, because you're cramming to try to get your product heard above all else over a two-day span at the beginning of the show, because by Thursday and Friday, a lot of the bigwigs have already gone home. So it's a very interesting event, from that perspective and from a strategy perspective. But you know what? A lot of publications, you get to go down, you get to meet people that you wouldn't normally get to meet. Everybody's all in one spot. And, you do get to see what the top technology companies in the world have been cooking up in their labs over the last year or two.
So as you got on the plane flying back from Vegas, what were the things that opened your eyes and made you think, okay, this is something that's significant?
Well, I think there were a few big stories that came out of CES. From a Canadian perspective, everybody likes to rip on the playbook, but I had a chance to play around with Playbook 2.0, which is the software update that comes out in February. And for all the ragging on RIM, this new piece of software is actually pretty good. I have a playbook at home. I don't use it very often, but I got to tell you, when this software update is available, I'm going to go into the IT department at the National Post and ask them to put my email and my account on this, because it's a device that I would use at home. You get the native email on this device, it's going to be very, very cool. It's a really interesting piece of software, and I think it's going to really help the playbook in that perspective. So that was one thing. I also think the sort of continued domination of Samsung is a pretty remarkable story. This is a huge company, and Samsung has decided that consumer electronics, specifically smartphones, is an area that they want to play in. And they've got the Galaxy Note, which is a new smartphone that's coming out, should be in Canada probably within the next month or two. And it's a 5.7-inch screen, or 5.4, 5-point-something-inch screen. But it's about halfway between the size of a big Samsung smartphone and a Samsung tablet. So it's kind of like an oversized smartphone or a pint-sized tablet, depending on how you want to look at it. And it really kind of is an interesting move into these hybrid devices that don't really fit into any single device category, be it smartphone, tablet, laptop. And I think we're going to start seeing a blurring of the lines between these various product categories. And I think this is a really easy example of that blurring.
Matt, can I get you to hold on for a sec? We're just running a little bit late for break. I'm just going to take a quick break, and then we'll wrap up CES with you. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, just going to hold on for 2 seconds. Matt Hartley is online with me from Toronto. He is, of course, the technology columnist for the National Post. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech.